podcast dedicated to everything in the world of entertainment for your enjoyment. I'm Jeff Favre.
And I'm Tom Moss, and this is the Tradescast for the week of June 14th.
Hey, Tom, I'm going to try not to cough in your face too much. I'm a little sick today, but nothing stops the world of entertainment. Nothing also stops big dinosaurs, apparently, whether it's Godzilla, which I guess is not a dinosaur, some kind of dinosaur-like creature, but I just want to touch briefly on Jurassic Park for one reason only. I don't think it's a Chris Pratt thing. Everyone loves him, and I think that's great, and he doesn't hurt the film. He helps the film, but not to that extent. Have we just reached the Transformers era now? And I say that because this movie did not get good reviews. This is not like his Guardians of the Galaxy, which everyone was kind of surprised that they loved so much. This is a film that did not get very good reviews. Everyone said it lacked all the charm. The first one wasn't very interesting. Even the effects weren't all that great. But does it even matter anymore?
No, well, it depends what your goal is. I mean, if your goal is to do a $200 million opening and a $200 million additional international, then no, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. Not even in the slightest. What was the Rotten Tomatoes score? Do you know?
With top critics, I think it was in the 30 to 40 range, something in there.
I'll double check it. But yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, this is the Transformer era. But I mean, it's that kind of movie. I mean, should we poo-poo a movie that does exactly what it promises to do and delivers exactly what it promises?
But the thing is, Jurassic Park delivered all that, the original, and critics loved it. And I just think it probably had more story to it, more heart to it. But I read one review, and I thought it was really insightful. I wish I could tell you who wrote it. I can't remember because I was reading so many. But it basically said, I didn't like this movie, but don't worry. It's not going to make any difference whether people like it.
Rotten Tomatoes is 70%, Jeff. So it did a little better than
70 with the top critics? Are you sure?
Well, that's what it's. I'm just looking at what it says here.
Tom, I think you're lying to me. And I think
I would never lie. I might be wrong, but I would not lie to you.
Okay, well then I take that back. I take it back, Tom, because I honestly I read a lot of negative reviews.
Well, and no doubt, and I don't think it diminishes your point. I mean, this is you know, in any case, not a great movie. I mean, it's not something we'll probably be talking about in 100 years, like A Trip to the Moon or something. But you know, for what it is, for a lark on a rainy weekend, why not?
I guess so. I just didn't think it would come to this, where story would be so, just so put on the back burner. I always remember this acceptance speech that George Lucas gave a long time ago. It was a funny acceptance speech because it was George Lucas, but he basically said, "We can't forget story," and I thought that was a really fascinating thing to say because he always seems to forget story all the time.
Well, you know, I'll go back to what we've talked about many times here. I mean, you know, this is a different kind of movie. It's an action movie. It's a thriller, whatever it is. But, you know, we haven't forsaken story. I mean, to a much lesser extent, it probably won't make $400 million internationally this weekend. But Me and Earl and the Dying Girl is getting extremely good reviews. And, you know, it's just a different kind of movie with a different kind of audience. It isn't going to go gonzo. But, you know, and there's all over television, or what we're still calling television, there's all sorts of stories. So story is by no means dead. I think it's just the domain of different media distribution outlets.
Right. I guess you are right. Tom, and not to poo-poo on your parade, but the top, the top critics...
That would be something.
The top critics' Rotten Tomatoes score is 64. That's still a lot higher than I thought it was. The all critics is 70, the top critics is 64. I do not look at the all critics score because, frankly, they let anyone in to the Rotten Tomatoes bandwagon. But that means several critics at real newspapers, real organizations like this thing. And I'm just surprised. But I'm really curious to see what the drop-off is. Because sometimes if people just aren't that into it, then they don't go back and they tell their friends. But the thing that's the most amazing about the Jurassic Park series is that its international numbers have always been phenomenal. So it'll be amazing to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a story that crosses all sorts of borders, and you know, language is absolutely irrelevant here. So that part doesn't surprise me at all. You know, me and Earl and the dying girl probably won't do super numbers in China.
No, but I was glad it got made. That's always one of those interesting things. And hey, Tom, I just wanted to mention this because I really feel like this is. When we talk about the world of social media and how quickly things move and how much of a story is made out of something, on CNN, someone on CNN, this woman, Frederica Whitfield, this shooter in Dallas, she was quoted as saying, "It was very courageous and brave, if not crazy, as well to open fire, blah, 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 blah." I don't think anybody for a minute thinks that this woman thinks that this was an awesome thing that happened.
No.
It wasn't said right. This happened to Bill Maher many, many years ago. It's happened to a lot of people. Do you think that we make too much out of this where somebody has a slip of the tongue, one word? I mean, we're not talking about like they use a crazy racist word where it's obvious they know what they're saying. We're talking about somebody who's using a word that actually technically is not inaccurate.
No, I think that's I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, I mean, I think we're in a moment of hyper political correctness when it comes to Twitter. I mean, you know, you can't. I mean, no matter what your political slant, you can't look at what she said and think she actually believed that this was an awesome, super cool thing that happened. No way. I mean, I think she was trying to make a finessed point that was probably, you know, kind of a dumb point that. You know, it was you know, if you're looking from his point of view, doing this the way he did it was, you know, took a lot of guts. But should we be looking at the world from his point of view in a newscast? I mean, I think it actually points to a bigger problem with the way that news people are trained and just sort of their typical perspective on the world is a little
right.
Ill-informed sometimes.
You know, I kind of actually put this into the same category. It's different because it's news, but. In the last couple of weeks, because of Jerry Seinfeld, I actually heard an interview with him about a week or two ago, and he was talking about how everything is getting so PC these days that it's just getting a little ridiculous, that there's almost so many things you cannot say, or you can say, but the blowback is pretty big. It's funny, because, of course, you can say a lot more now than you ever could for a long time, but it is true that in some ways we are reaching this more PC era. And do you think it's because of social media, because things happen so fast and reaction is so much knee-jerk that we just have this like, oh, I better not say that, or oh my gosh, listen to what that person said?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of that. I mean, you know, we live in an echo chamber with the media. We haven't quite figured out how to discriminate. There's an equivalency problem with social media. I don't know if it's a problem, but it's a way that it works. That the individual voices, no matter who they are, no matter what their background or training or expertise or whatever, sound and look the same. So every Twitter account looks like every Twitter account, whether you're, you know, Barack Obama or some schlub somewhere, like you or me, for instance. So, I mean, I think that's an issue. I think it will probably sort it out in the next generation or so, but then there'll be something else to worry about by then.
You know, it's funny. I was watching CNN's got a special called The 70s. I don't know if you've seen this at all, but they did one on TV. And I show parts of an episode of All in the Family to my students, my broadcasting students. And I'm telling you, that show could not run now. Not because it's dated, but because they use so many words that you no longer can say on television, which is really amazing.
Yeah, and I wonder if that is a question of how far we've advanced from them, so that if that's actually a sign of progress, or is it evidence that we no longer have the sort of more finely tuned sense of satire. I don't think it's the latter, because a lot of people, there's, you know, a lot of anecdotal evidence, oral history evidence that people watched All in the Family and identified unironically with Archie.
I guess that's true, but at the same time, I kind of think it could be part of the first one, which is maybe people don't have are so knee-jerk in their response that they don't take the time to check the subtleties of things. But now, playing off that, Brian Williams, The reason I don't put Brian Williams in this camp of any of these things is that I think what he did was either deliberate because it happened on several occasions, or it was incredible misjudgment on his part, or some kind of something went really, really wrong. This isn't like he accidentally said one thing one time. This is more along the Bill O'Reilly, where he has said a couple of things several times that they found out were completely untrue. This is Brian Williams doing the same thing, only people expect him, unlike Bill O'Reilly, to be a little more above that. NBC's talking about keeping him, not as an anchor. Do you think he should even want to stay there? Because it feels like his best bet is to just disappear for a little bit longer than just show up somewhere else, the way Katie Couric has with Yahoo.
Yeah, right. I think this is interesting. I hadn't really thought about what he might want. I was looking at it from what NBC, if this is a good move for NBC. So I'll get to your point, but first of all, I think this is a really smart move if they actually follow through with this. Because Brian Williams is going to go somewhere, right? I mean, he's not going to just fade away. I don't think he's that badly tarnished, no worse than many others who have done worse and come back. So why not tuck him away on MSNBC, give him his own show, make him a correspondent? There's a lot of things you could do with him. Make him an election reporter for the next year or so. Put him out in the wilderness. And then he'll come back. Now, what he wants is a good question. I mean, I think he will have more options than maybe we see right now. I'm not sure exactly what they would be, but, maybe Netflix would do a daily newscast. I think that is something like that's probably on the horizon soon. I mean, to compete with Yahoo for that matter.
Absolutely. Or Vice, or you know what I mean? It could be one of these other players, because Katie Couric has re-signed with Yahoo, it's been reported. Her talk show, her streaming talk show, has gotten a bunch of views. I don't ever watch it. I forget that she exists now, but it seems like it's working out for her. It's working out for Yahoo. So, one, do you think it is working out that way? And two, does that maybe make a good sign for someone like a Brian Williams who could show up strictly in a streaming world?
Yeah, I think absolutely. And I think if Vice hasn't been in contact with him yet, I'm surprised. I think that's a really smart move. That was one point. What was the other question?
Just Katie Couric, if you think it's working out for them.
It must be, because they signed another contract. I'm with you. I haven't seen her, but I think they might be taking a longer view of this. It's Chelsea Handler, not to change the subject, is going to be doing am I right with this, a daily show on Netflix?
I don't know if it's daily. She is doing a series of specials that I know of, and they may have made a second deal with her, but the last I heard, she was doing a series of specials.
But, we can imagine a world where that could happen. So why not, why not Katie Couric, Brian Williams on Vice, or Vice doing whatever they want to do? Why wouldn't that be, a possible option? I think there's people like me that are hungry for news, but don't have that the nightly news format doesn't appeal to. I can definitely see tuning into, Brian Williams on Vice. He may be a little too old for Vice, frankly, but who knows?
Yeah, Al Jazeera America. I mean, he ought to be trying to be a big fish in a little pond, I think.
Yeah, I think they'd be hungry for that. I think that'd be a smart move.
Yeah, if he could become a face, because I think people still like him, but we're never going to know until something happens. So whether he stays with NBC or not, we're not going to know until he starts showing up regularly again, if people just said, hey, this was a bigger deal with the media than it was with me, I still like him, kind of thing, which I think is the case, but we'll see. Rupert Murdoch has been a thorn in our side for forever now. And he, I think, wants to make sure that his legacy is secure by making sure that his kids take over for him. I guess I'm curious if you think this is a good idea, because a lot of times when the kids take over, it doesn't work so well. They have not had to fight and scratch and claw to get to where they were the way Rupert Murdoch did. Do you think it's a good idea in this case or in most cases? Because I can show you lots of industries, the sports industries for one, sports ownership, where the kids don't seem to do nearly as well as the parent who originated the product.
Well, if there's anybody in the world who could teach a youngster how to scrape, scratch, and claw, it would be Rupert Murdoch. I suspect he's trained these kids, James and Lattic, is that his name?
Yeah.
Lackland, to do just fine. I mean, the thing that is interesting, they're young. They're 42, 43 years old. James will be CEO and Lackland will be, one of the other senior positions. And Rupert, you know, while he's handing the baton off, is not going anywhere right away. So he will be, you know, very active in this transition. Don't worry. I don't want you to worry about the Murdoch empire, Jeff. I think everything's going to be fine.
No, it'll still be as crooked as always. Don't worry. Yeah. We get that. And I guess it will be, you know, it's his baby. So he has every right to do what he wants. And
well, this is a, you know, actually kind of an interesting, tie-in to our previous story. James is a great example of a public figure who has had a second act, because when the, UK phone hacking scandal came down, all accounts was he was done, and he scampered back to England. And, you know, we thought we'd never hear from him again, yet here he comes. So, you know, that's, if anything, maybe some promise for Brian Williams.
The only difference is, one, the public had to decide, and one, basically, it's just a king who decides what he wants. And so I'm not sure if he had to make his life again in the public world as an anchor or something, that he ever would have made it back. Basically.
Well, that you know, I take your point, but Fox is a publicly traded company, and you know, the Murdoch with their allies in Saudi Arabia, I think, have 39% of the shares. So, I mean, there is a smaller, very elite public that they do have to satisfy.
That is true. Well, I think in their eyes, committing crimes like that may have just raised his stakes.
I think you're right.
Hey, I thought we'd end by talking about our favorite topic, which is Netflix. Tom, I'm just curious. I looked it up, and there's no reason you should know this, but how many current Netflix shows do you think have been recently renewed? So shows that we know are going to be back. How many do you think there are?
Well, that's interesting, because I have noticed a lot of activity on Netflix. I'm going to guess 20.
That's really close. 16. Mm. That's really close. Now, how many shows, new shows, do you think have been announced? Not specials, but actual shows.
I'm going to say 15.
35. So that's an amazing number, is it not? That's an amazing number.
By comparison, the networks have about 20 new shows every fall.
Yeah, roughly.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
So this is incredible.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and most of them are coming out later this year or next year. They're scheduled already, but several of them, Tom, are going after the youth market. They're going after kids, and I think this is a really smart move for them. You know, it seems like this wasn't the first thing they put their nose to the grindstone to get. You know, the first it was like, let's get great dramas going. Then let's get some edgy comedies going. Let's get some international products going. But now it seems like, okay, now we've got that. Let's get the kid shows. And it seems like they're really pushing for this. And I think it's a really smart idea.
I do too. I mean, I think it's smart in a number of ways. I mean, that's a huge market. It's a way to tie in kids and their parents, but it's also a way to make new Netflix fans that will grow up and go off to college and start families of their own and will be brand loyal to Netflix as much as past generations have been brand loyal to Coke and McDonald's and CBS.
Do you think, I mean, if you are right, and the Chelsea Handler show will be daily, I know she is working on both a special and a talk show, and do you think that they are just a couple of years away of having basically just programming that looks so much like a network formula, but not exactly. But obviously, they release things in bulk, and you can watch it whenever. But do you think we're getting to that point now where it's just like, hey, turn on Netflix, as opposed to what's on TV? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think we are getting to that point pretty quickly. I don't think there's anything to stop them from doing it now. It's a question of what kind of show it is. I mean, I think it's really where the format will define the content will define the format.
Maybe they ought to give Brian Williams a call, because it would be fascinating if suddenly Netflix just had some kind of daily news talk show. That would be fascinating. But I wouldn't put it past them. They just seem to have unlimited funds, and they're in this for the long haul.
You know, they are of a great classic entrepreneurial model, and I hope they can sustain it into the next, 10 years or so, where they're just willing to try things. You know, there are things that we can point to on Netflix that haven't worked as well. And, they tried. They probably didn't pay that much for it, relatively speaking. I mean, they don't, what is the ratio of the content that they purchase versus the content that they produce? And is there even a difference?
That is a question I would love to know, in terms of how much people are watching. Is it still primarily people are watching the movies, or are they watching original Netflix content? I would love to know that, and I don't know if they ever would release that number. But
what does original content mean? Because there's original content. I mean, where Arrested Development was original content. Some of the original content they has already run in England, for example. So it's what they call original is not always completely forthcoming.
That is true. But we know Orange is the New Black is out there, and everyone's excited about that. And
out early, right?
Out, it's amazing. And so we'll be watching that and seeing how, if any of their new shows, which are coming out later this year and next year, will become huge hits. We're going to check in with Jurassic Park and see if they can keep these crazy numbers up, or if another one of the summer movies will overtake it. And we'll be checking those things out and everything else in the world of entertainment for your enjoyment. So for Tom, I'm Jeff. Have a great day.